Understand God's Will for My Life by Jim Harper. Chapter 1. I Was Made to Know God.
If you've opened this book and have started reading this first chapter, you have made the second most important decision about learning who God is. You have opened your heart. You see, God never forces His way into your heart. He will always wait until you let Him in. He knows that you have been designed and created to know who He is. He has given you a mind to think, a mind to reason and understand, and a mind that lets you know that you are a unique and special creation. There is no other person just like you. He has also created you to know that you were made for a mission, but He has left it up to you to find out what your mission is. This book will be a guide. God has given you a desire to know why you were created and also to learn who your Creator is. We have all been created to understand who God is. But the first step in understanding who God is, while at the same time finding out who we are, is to open our hearts. Our hearts must be open to learn and to desire to know God. So, you are probably wondering, if opening your heart is the second most important decision that you can make to understand who God is, what is the most important decision? Well, your heart must remain open just a little while longer to learn the answer to this question. There are a few more things you must learn before the answer to this question becomes relevant. Your heart is the door through which God will enter so you can understand who He is. So keep your heart open just a little while longer. God cannot reveal Himself to you if your heart is closed. If you seek Him with all your heart, He promises that you will find Him. Did you know that God told us He was coming to live among us many years before He actually came? Between 400 and 1200 years before God came to live among us, He gave us many details of His plan. He told us He would be coming to live among us. He told us He would be born of a virgin, and His name would be Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, and Mighty God. He told us that for a long time He had kept silent about sending His Son to earth to save us. He told us He would bring justice to the nations. He would make a new covenant for His people. He told us He would write His laws in our minds and on our hearts. He told us that He would bear the sins of many and that our sins would be forgiven. He told us He would die, be pierced for our transgressions, be crushed for our iniquities, and by His wounds we would be healed. He told us He would rise from the dead. He told us He would ascend to heaven. And He told us He would pour out His Spirit on all people. All of this was told to us hundreds of years before God actually came to live among us. So, as you can see, since all of this was described in the Old Testament is all about Jesus. God told us He would come to live among us, and that is exactly what He did. God came to earth and lived as a man. His name was Jesus. God's prophets throughout the Old Testament explained to us why God had to come to live among us. That unless He came, because we are all sinners, we were all doomed. The only way that He could save us from our sins was to come to earth, live among us, show us how to live, and then while here explain to us why He would need to die for us. He would be the ultimate sacrifice to save us from our sins, something that only God could do. So, the story that is told throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament is a complete story. The New Testament fulfills the Old Testament, and the New Testament also gives us a hint of what is yet to come. In the New Testament, the story continues and is fulfilled. He told us He is the image of the invisible God. He told us why He had to be made human in every way. He told us He had to come to reach the sinners. He told us He would provide us a new temple, which is Himself, after 3 days, not built by human hands. He told us He came to give us His life for many. He told one of His followers, Peter, that He would deny Him 3 times before it actually happened. He told one of His followers Judas that he would betray him before it actually happened. He told his followers that he would be condemned to death, that he would be mocked, flogged, beaten, spit upon, and killed. He told his followers that after all of this happened, he would rise from the dead after 3 days. He told us that his death would begin a new covenant for all people. He told us that for those who believe in him, their sins would be forgiven and they will find life. After he rose from the dead, he told us that he had defeated Satan and that unless he left the earth, God's Holy Spirit couldn't come to live within us. And then to confirm his plan had been executed to perfection, after Jesus rose from the dead, he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Jesus appeared to over 500 people over the next 40 days, and he continued to speak about the kingdom of God. He told everyone that when he leaves, after he ascended to heaven, he would leave behind the Spirit of God that would live within us. His Spirit would guide us in all of our decisions, and his Spirit would also give us peace and comfort. So, what God told us would happen in the Old Testament did happen. It happened exactly as he said it would. The New Testament is a fulfillment of God's plan given to us in exacting detail in the Old Testament. It was and is the perfect plan, executed to perfection. God sent his son Jesus to live among us because no matter who we are or what we have done, God has incredible love for each and every one of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John 3:16. God's desire was and continues to be to deliver his truth in a world full of untruths. Because he knew we would sin, he knew we would be in need of a redeemer. He also knew that we could never redeem ourselves. No person with any amount of sin could qualify to redeem us with his life. This would be a sinful man trying to redeem a sinful man. This equation just doesn't work. It had to be a person without sin, and no human could ever qualify. So, somewhere in the eons of time, God knew that he would need to send his son, Jesus, God in the flesh, to earth to fulfill this incredibly important mission. Unlike the Old Testament sacrifices that could never take away our sins, this sacrifice only needed to be done once, because it would be a holy sacrifice. Jesus would be the sacrifice. God could and would come to earth to live as a sinless man to cleanse the condition of sin inherited by every single one of us. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Isaiah 1:18. God also knew that this was the best way to communicate with us, to experience the same temptations that we experience, feel the same hurt and suffering and rejection that we feel, and then while here on earth, he could also teach us how to live. He could be our ultimate mentor. He made it very clear that he came down from heaven not to do his will, but to do the will of his Father who sent him. Well, God uses human shepherds to explain how a good shepherd acts when just one of his lambs goes astray. A good shepherd will go far and wide to find and save just one lost lamb. God will do the same thing for you and me. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John 10-11. So this was God's mission. He came to earth to find us and save us. When we become lost, God does not give up on us. He is always there. He's always searching. He came for everyone because everyone becomes lost at one time or another. When we lose touch with our Creator, we sin, we wander, we rebel. We live this way because we don't understand our purpose in life and why we were born. This is not what God ever intended. God wants all of us to know why we were born and what our purpose is. Well, the unfortunate thing about being lost is it puts us under the control of Satan. Satan's primary goal is to deceive us so he can slowly destroy us. Satan deceives us into thinking that there is no harm in doing it our way or living for the moment or putting ourselves before others. But this is not God's plan. Living outside of God's will never bring happiness. We oftentimes think it will, but this is one of Satan's great deceptions. In the Bible, darkness is representative of sin and judgment. Sin in our life darkens our understanding and knocks us out of alignment with God's will. It's like hitting a pothole while driving a car. We all hit potholes. We all sin. And every time we hit a pothole, our internal steering is knocked out of alignment with God's will. If we hit a pothole that is really deep, it can cause serious problems, possibly injury, and even death. When we are out of alignment with God's will, we aren't able to drive straight and true. There might be days when it doesn't seem so bad. Our life will eventually shake and shudder and wobble, just like a badly aligned car. And if we don't fix the problem, if we don't align our life with God's will, well, some very bad things could start to happen. This is because when we sin, God can't protect us. He lets us reap what we sow. Most people don't want to think of themselves as living in darkness, but this is how God looks at people who are living in sin within a fallen world. They're out of alignment. They are living without following the truth, which is His truth. This is why Jesus had to come to earth. He had to trump evil and teach us His truth. He had to teach us what truth is in a world strewn with untruths. God wishes to steer you around potential potholes in your life, the potholes that are meant to harm you. We oftentimes can't see the potholes in front of us, but God can. Follow God's word, and His bright light will illuminate the path ahead of you so you can steer clear of potholes. This will allow you to stay in alignment with His will, and it will make your trip so much easier. Well, we all know what light is. We depend on light when we are in the dark, so we don't stumble. This is why God's message is associated with light. Jesus came to earth so we don't need to live in darkness. He came so we can have life and live it more abundantly. And when we live according to His truth, we can also shine God's light toward others who are driving towards potholes so they can also see and avoid problems that are ahead of them as well. You see, when God created us, He knew we would be a challenge, and He knew we would sin, especially since He gave us free will. We see this same challenging behavior in our own children. We know our children will challenge our rules. We know they will rebel. We know that sometimes they will ignore our direction. Well, a parent yearns for the child who behaves and follows the rules so they won't get hurt. God's the same way. He doesn't want His children to get hurt. He came to earth so He could be close to us and teach us how to live. Well, unfortunately, many of us deny Him. We rebel. We don't listen. We do what we want to do, not even realizing that when we step outside of God's will, boy, we make Satan very happy. Satan knows that when we rebel, if we ignore God, we are taking a step down Satan's road, the road that will eventually lead to our destruction. When we rebelled as a child, we couldn't understand why our father did what he did. But now, as parents, we know why he did it. We know why our parents did what they did, because they loved us. We seem to have forgotten this important lesson. As adults, we have forgotten that our Father in heaven wants only the best for us. Yet, we deny Him and ignore Him, and we sin. How soon we forget. Did you know that God loves you even when you don't love Him? Think about it. God loves you even when you don't love Him. God is at work in your life even if you don't know Him or love Him. Not wanting to learn who God is can result in a spiritual death, which will create a separation from the one who created you. If you are indifferent about God, or if you choose to actively oppose Him, you deny Him, both of these will result in a separation from God, and you will never learn His plan for your life. If we accept God and His Word, we will begin to gain the wisdom and the knowledge that He wishes for each of us. It's a free gift, but we must accept His free gift. We must invite him into our heart so he can reveal himself to us. But to know God, to really know him, we must recognize his voice. We must recognize his voice because the devil will do everything he can to make his voice heard, to drown out God's voice. Satan is an absolute master at interrupting what God is trying to tell you. Just start doing something, anything, that promotes God's plan, and you will see how Satan attempts to interrupt, misdirect, and turn you away from learning who God is. You see, Satan does not want you to learn God's plan for your life. Satan is opposed to God's plan, and he wants everyone who has been created in God's image to be destroyed. Now, Satan knows that if he can destroy you and me, he can make God very sad. And Satan is working overtime to do just that. Simply turn on the news, and you will see how successful he is. Someday, Satan and all of his minions will be vanquished. But for now, he has free reign, and he is destroying people at a record pace. But it doesn't need to be this way. We simply need to learn his tricks. We need to become wise to his deceptions. And we need to learn how to avoid Satan's potholes that are meant to hurt us. One of Satan's spirits, a fallen angel, even interrupted Jesus once as Jesus was preaching in a synagogue. If the devil will attempt to interrupt Jesus in a synagogue, he will certainly attempt to interrupt you as you attempt to learn God's will for your life. So be on guard. We must all learn to recognize God's voice the same way we recognize a friend's voice. Did you know that Satan can't actually hurt you? He has no real powers other than to deceive. He's like a lion that roars loudly but has no teeth or claws. Well, a loud and roaring lion with no teeth or claws must deceive you into thinking that he's powerful. This means Satan must rely on deception to accomplish his objectives. He knows that if he can deceive you into driving down his beautiful parkways that are surrounded by beautiful scenery meant to keep your eyes off the road, he knows that you might miss God's warning beacons and hit his potholes meant to harm you. If we simply become wise to Satan's deceptions, we won't be deceived into taking our eyes off the road. We will drive with full knowledge that God's warning beacons are meant to protect us. Many of us have experienced this type of deception firsthand. We have made a poor decision and then have had to pay the consequence of our poor decision. It's sad, but it happens. Many times it happens because we were convinced by, well, you know who, that there would be no consequence. Satan knows how feeble and weak-minded we are. He knows that we can't connect the dots. We make a poor decision, we get hurt, and then we can't figure out why we got hurt. Many times we got hurt because we ignored God's directional signs. Satan just loves this form of ignorance. If we listen to and think that his lies sound appealing, how much more important is it that we learn how to recognize our Father's voice? We must continually test what we hear and see and read against God's truth. In fact, it's critical. Over time, we'll begin to test every message that we hear against God's truth. When we do, with authority and with confidence, we will be able to say, "Okay, Satan, I now know your game, and I'm not going there. I see your pothole, and I see the Lord's smooth road. I'm taking his road." Do you think the Lord sits by as Satan roars his messages to the world and remains silent? Not at all. The Lord is constantly convicting us to testify to his truth. His word pierces our conscience. We must continue to keep watch because Satan is unrelenting. If we can recognize that certain messages do not align with the Lord's truth, we will have the confidence to say no to those messages. We will also have the ability to warn others about Satan's many schemes as well. It is absolutely critical that we learn what sin is, especially sin in our own lives. We must be able to clear away the static. We must be willing to talk to people, and even our own friends, who are willing to talk about sin, and sin for what it is, a violation of God's standards. So we need to watch out for static in our lives, which might include some of our friends. Sin is a sin, and none of our friends' static, their opinions, can change that. Do not let your friend static try to convince you that it's okay because everybody else is doing it. It isn't. It's a violation of God's standards. Read the instruction manual. The instruction manual doesn't change. Well, unfortunately, sin's a very difficult topic, and many people just don't want to talk about it or address it. We don't want to go to church and have our heart searched. We don't want to feel guilty or feel convicted or made to feel bad about how we are living. But we need to. We need to learn about sin, what sin is, that sin is a violation of God's standards. We must learn that which areas of our life are not in alignment with God's standards, and we must be willing to change those areas. Christ wishes to remove sin from our lives. We all have dark areas in our heart. If we put a heavy weighting on our friends' opinions rather than relying on God's warnings about sin, we will miss the true blessings and favor that God intends for us. We need to learn to hear God's voice. We need to read and understand what the Bible says. Well, God's Spirit within us will be searching, convicting, and helping us hear Him if we clear the static. But to hear, to really hear, we must listen. Are you listening? To hear God's warnings, you must go to a place where Satan can't interrupt you. You must disconnect from the world for a little while. Many of us can't bear the thought of giving up our secret sins, but God seeks intimacy. He wishes to help us deal with the smallest details in our life. God speaks to us with a single purpose. He wishes to possess all of your heart, to help you destroy all lusts, and help purge all sins from your life, so He can bless you, give you favor, and reward you. If you want to hear God's voice in His direction, you must be willing to have your heart cleansed. His word must pierce your conscience and expose your sin so you can be cleansed. You see, direction and guidance from God only comes about after the cleansing of your heart. God paid the ultimate price for our sins, so we should feel convicted of our sinful nature. We need to be willing to talk about sin. That is what He wants and needs from us, to repent of our sins and to follow Him. His many truths are meant to protect us. His truths are the beacon signs that are meant to protect us from Satan's many potholes. Did you know that God wants you to know His will? He does, but it will require change, a change in your thinking and the way that you understand and react to situations in your life. The world in which we live is controlled by Satan. This means that much of what you are seeing and hearing in your daily life does not align with God's standards. These messages are meant to deceive you. God has given Satan control over the world until the end times, at which time Satan will be vanquished and sent to hell for eternity. But until that time, we must become wise and our minds must be transformed so we can recognize Satan's many deceptions. Remember, Satan is constantly looking for people to devour. He is so cunning, he even attempts to deceive teachers of the Bible. But God promises us that He will instruct us and guide us, and He will lead us in the right direction around the potholes if we follow Him. God will never lead you into a situation that violates His principles, such as hurting yourself or hurting others. If you study God's Word, you will be able to pick up on Satan's lies and be ready to avoid the pothole that is being put in front of you. End of chapter 1.